not just only express myself here tonight. I want to be able to express the mind of God.
Yes.
And I've been feeling this for some time, and I've never spoken it. But as I began to speak it, as I began to pray and began to speak it, it began to grow. And I just hope I can do it justice here tonight. But I do believe that God wants to help not just one, but I believe that God wants to help many people here tonight. And the Bible teaches us that the Word of God did not profit some because that it was not mixed with faith. And so as the Word of God is preached, you've got to mix it with faith, and the Lord can begin to move. Praise God. And so I start in Deuteronomy chapter number 28. And verse number 1 simply says, "And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently." Now there's a couple of if-thens in this passage. And so it just not just going to freely come. It does freely come. But there is an if-then part in this. And so he said, It shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all the blessings and all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Praise God. I simply want to talk to you tonight about the blessings of God. The blessings of God. I want the blessings of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we just ask the Lord to help us here today? Heavenly Father, I'm asking you to do, God, even as your word is designed.
Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, hallelujah, Savior, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord.
Amen and amen, and God bless you, and you may be seated. Praise God. Our text tonight may be the most audacious prediction in history, because some 3,000 years ago, a tiny insignificant group of ex-slaves were told that it would one day be set high above all the nations of the earth. Praise God. Amen. He said, "The Lord thy God will set thee on high above all the nations of the earth." And then he says, "And all these blessings shall come on you." I believe that there is a major difference between blessing and prosperity. And so I am not up here to preach a message of prosperity, but rather to preach a message of blessing. Not to preach the theology of prosperity, because you don't want to know the theology of prosperity. But you really do want to know about the theology of blessing. Praise God. And so prosperity is rooted in greed. And that's why you don't want to know about the theology of prosperity. Because it's rooted in greed. And it is anti-biblical, or let me just say it like this, that greed in the Bible is not a good thing, and it's not going to bring you blessing. Praise God. Because that prosperity is rooted in greed. But blessing is the desire of God. Not just a biblical or scriptural principle, but it is scripture revealing the mind of God. I know that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God. But some of it that was given, God gave history, God gave poems, God gave prophecy, God gave a lot of things. But in this, he professes or proclaims his mind, his will, his desire. And so it is scripture revealing the mind of God concerning the desires to bless his people. And we will discuss here in a moment the key difference between prosperity and blessing. But again, we'll get into that. And so after reading the promise of blessings, one could immediately think as we were, if we were to progress through the chapter Deuteronomy 28, we would immediately think to ourselves, why would not anyone or why would anyone not want to follow after God's law? And the answers could be twofold. One is that many people believe that blessings truly do not follow the obedience to the word of God. Or we just simply would say that blessing or that it is not mixed with faith. The word of God not being mixed with faith. That people would just feel like, you know what, that's just some just another saying. I just don't believe that it's actually going to happen. But you've got to have faith in the word of God. And the other reason would simply be that people prefer to do what they would want to do rather than do what is right. And even when they believe that they will be rewarded for doing what is right. People who lead irresponsible lives and do not exercise self-discipline are rarely persuaded by promises of rewards to change their ways. And it's much easier to do what one wants to do at any given moment and reap immediate rewards such as pleasure and fame and money than to do the right thing and to reap a long-term reward. And so to be able to better understand the desire of God concerning the blessings that shall come upon you, we will endeavor to extract the principle of blessing from the scripture. And if it is a principle of blessing, then we want to go back even before sin entered into the world. And we want to find how that this principle of the Bible was involved in the lives of humanity before sin came into it. And so we would go to the book of Genesis chapter number 1 and reading there beginning at verse number 26. The Bible said that God said, "Let us make man in our image. And after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." And so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female, created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living creature that moveth upon the face of the earth." And so we see that God is going to bless the man. God spoke unto him and told him that he was to have dominion over all of the things upon the earth. And then he says that he blessed them. And so when I look at that, I think to myself, well, first of all, I've got a garden. It's called Eden. And in this garden is a place that is designed in a euphoric way. It's a place of utopia. It is a place that you and I would just so excitedly pay a few bucks and go take a tour there. What do they call that? A cruise. Amen. We could go take a cruise and go there and stuff. Because you think about Eden and you think about there's no sin that's involved in it. And you think about all the good things that are there. And there's only one thing that you cannot do. And everything else was designed by the mind and the hand of God and the way that Eden was designed. And you think about all of this, and on top of all of that, God blessed Adam and Eve. On top of living in Eden, there was blessings. There were blessings that was put upon them. But there is the if-then statement that is there. And he spoke and he said, let them have dominion. And so there was a mandate that was given. And in this mandate, the blessing, the Lord says, this is what I want you to do. You are to have dominion, rule over all of the fish of the sea and over all of the fowl of the air and the cattle and over all the earth and every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. And then he would say, and God blessed them. Now, we also need to notice that in verse number 28, it says, God blessed them, and God said unto them, and he says that all again, and he says, and have dominion over. Amen. So, let me just go back and just set the stage here. Number one, God says, this is my desire. This is what I want. And therefore, if you do it, I'm going to bless you. Amen. And you are going to continue to have dominion. And so the blessings of God facilitate the mandate that God has for his people. Amen. The blessings of God becomes the vehicle that moves and motivates the mandate of God. God blesses them. In other words, they have favor. And having the favor of God upon them, they are able to take dominion over all the things that God would say. Amen. The will of God is performed by the blessings of God. God says, this is what I want to happen, and so I'm going to bless you to facilitate my will. Amen. And as long as you continue in my will, I will continue to bless you. Praise God. And so this is the key difference between prosperity and blessing. Prosperity is name it and claim it. Praise God. Hallelujah. Prosperity is name it and claim it. Prosperity is blab it and grab it. Prosperity is a pie in the sky. Amen. Or in other words, amen, everybody needs to get a piece of the pie. Amen. But there's only one problem with that, and that's that the pie disappears, and the pie is gone. And then when the pie is gone, then everybody's standing around, amen, and begin to dwindle back down, and everybody's looking for the next object, the next get-rich-quick thing. Amen. That's what prosperity is. And prosperity is, let me see who I can step on the top of and who I can climb over in order to get something. And prosperity, amen, is that name it, claim it, blab it, grab it, amen, that charismatic way. And they just do it. And then they're looking for the next thing. But that's not the way that blessings work. Blessings stay in your life. Blessings live in your life. Blessings overcome. You got to go looking for prosperity, but blessings come. Blessings come. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. 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 And so blessings is the opportunity for continued blessings from the giver of life. Goes beyond just some opportunity. As a matter of fact, in the book of Proverbs chapter number 10 and verse number 22, the Bible says that the blessings of the Lord, it maketh rich. Amen. And he addeth no sin. sorrow with it. Amen. It's not necessarily about being rich. And so we don't need to equate being blessed with being rich. Amen. Because you can be rich with more than just monetary means. Amen. You can be rich in spirit. You can be rich in health. You can be rich in other things. Amen. And still, amen, not have a whole lot of money to rub together. But I want to go beyond all of that here tonight, because there is a mentality that somehow or another, there is a mentality that comes about that says poverty, amen, equates to spiritualism. And the more in poverty that is somebody lives, that the more spiritual that they are. And some people would even take a vow of poverty, and some people would go tie themselves up to a dog chain somewhere, and so that they would not be able to go and indulge their flesh and their desires and such, and taking a vow of poverty and living in the poorest condition, thinking that they are more spiritual. They use scriptures such as Peter would say, silver and gold have I none. And so, in other words, I don't need to have any silver and gold, and I don't need to have money and such. They would say that the Son of Man hath not a place where to lay his head, and so I don't need necessarily a house. If I've just got a box somewhere, if I've just got just a shack somewhere to lay my head, I'll be more spiritual. Amen. They give a scripture such as the rich man that had his barns filled, and so I can't have my barns filled, because the rich man said that you've done well and you're increased with goods, and so I'm going to tear my barns down, and I'm going to build bigger barns. And that rich man was told, thou fool, thy soul shall be required of you. And so it's not the will of God to be rich and increased with goods. They see that Laodicea had that pointed at them, that they were rich and increased with goods, and so I shall not be rich and increased with goods. And they say that Jesus referred to a certain rich man and a certain beggar. And the beggar made it to heaven, but the rich man went to hell. And in hell he was begging the beggar. And so there is that mentality that poverty equates to spirituality. And that is not the truth. I believe that we serve a God that wants to bless his people. Amen. I'm going to prove it here tonight. Amen. I said I believe that we serve a God that's got armloads of gifts, that owns the cattle of 1,000 hills. And the Irishman said, all the potatoes under it. We've got a God who has everything. He has all power. Don't tell me that he's looking down at a bride that he wants to just sit there in tattered garments and in dirty wear. Amen. Amen. Be the replication of salvation. I believe that there is a God that desires to give his people good things. A God that desires, amen, that blessings would be upon his people. There's a purpose. There's a mandate. There's a will that is there. Praise God. Let me go on. In the book of Genesis chapter number 2, we see the principle added unto. The Lord God took the man and he put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. Amen. He gave him a mandate. He said, this is my will. I've put you here in the garden. I want you to dress it and I want you to keep it. In reality, what he was saying is, I want you, amen, I want you to improve it, and I want you to protect it, amen, from everything that comes around. I want you to dress it, amen. I want you to dress it, and that would be to improve it, amen. You till the ground, you pull the weeds out, you make sure that it's dunged around, amen, that the fertilizer is there. You take care of it all, and I want you to keep it. I want you to protect it, amen. Keep it, watch over it. it. Don't let just any of the animals come in and trample it under. You've got dominion. You've got to use it. But there is a principle that is being established here. If you will improve it, if you'll take your hands and apply it to the tiller, apply it to a hoe, apply it to a shovel, apply it to something, amen, and get a little blisters on your hands and work and do something. If you'll improve what I have given unto you, I'll feel the Holy Ghost. If you'll improve what I have given unto you and protect what I have given unto you, then there's going to be a reward. And that one seed that you planted is going to come up tenfold. There's going to be an increase. There's going to be a multiplication. There is going to be an overabundance of harvest that comes through the garden. Praise God. Amen. Let me just stop here and just throw in this, amen, that we have got to make sure that we are improving and protecting what God has put into our hands. I just want to tell somebody today that if God has put, amen, a minimum wage job in your hand, then you do your best to improve it and to protect it. Don't go around bad-mouthing it. Don't go around talking about your boss behind his back. Hey man, you're the one that accepted that wage. You're the one that agreed to it. Hey man, you improve it and you protect it. And then the rule is going to be that it's going to increase in time. But don't get mad at God when it doesn't increase. Don't get mad at God when the blessings don't come. He said improve it and keep it. And when you improve it and keep it, you'll get a better job. And you improve it and keep it, and God will bless you. That's the rule that God put into it. You give your boss what he has asked for. You do what you are required to do. And improving and in keeping, there is a law of increase that comes. Praise God. Amen. Don't be the one that the boss can never find. As in, don't be the boss that don't be the one that the boss can never find. Amen. Don't be the one that the boss says I can't rely on them. Don't be the one that the boss says I can't depend upon them. Don't be the one that the boss says they're never on time. They're always late. They're always laying around playing on their phone, playing on their device, playing on this. Every time I come around, what do you do? If your job affords you the time to be able to look at your device and to do all of that stuff, that's another thing. But let me just tell you something, that if you're sitting there hiding from the boss so that you can observe, something's wrong. And if when the boss comes around, you, something's wrong. Praise God. Amen. The mission and the mandate is improve it and protect it. Improve it and keep it. Hallelujah. That's what he told Adam. He said, I want you to dress it and I want you to keep the garden. Praise God. And then the law of increase was there. He said, I'm going to bless it. I'm going to put my hand upon it. And that one plant that you planted, you're not going to get one pepper from it. You're not going to get one tomato from it. You're going to get multiple peppers. You're going to get multiple tomatoes from it. Amen. Why? Because by osmosis you just deemed that it should be there. No, because you improved the place and you kept it. It's the principle of blessing that is there. Praise God. Amen. I would just tell you tonight that as the church of the living God, we do have our mission. Amen. That's why we don't preach a prosperity doctrine. Amen. And come in and plop down on the pew and say, oh God, here I am, Lord. Here's my cup. Here's my bowl. Here's my garbage can. Here's my truck. Load it up. Fill it up. Let it flow over. Amen. But there is a mandate according to Scripture. There is a mandate. There is the mind of God. The proverbial mind of God has got to be addressed. It's got to be, amen, brought into attention. And in Matthew chapter number 28, we find that mandate, that mission that God has given us. He said, go ye therefore into all the world. And we'll just say it like this. He said, preach the gospel. I know that he said, go ye in there to all the world. Amen. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son Amen. We understand all of that. But the mission is that we are to go and to preach the gospel. We are to go into the highways and the hedges. We are to compel the lost to come. Amen. And when those that we set about to get to come, when they don't come, he said, go and find somebody else that my house may be full. Don't just sit there, amen, on the pew and think that some way, somehow, God is just going to overload your bucket. But I will tell you that when you set about to do the will of God, when you set about to accomplish the mandate of God, God said, you're not going to outdo it. You're not going to outgive me. You're not going to outperform me. I'm going to give you everything that you need. If you need words, I'll put words in your mouth. If you need money, I'll put money in your bank. Whatever you need to accomplish the will of God, I will bless it. You got to get this revelation. I said, you got to get this revelation. Hallelujah. God said, this is what I want. I want to propagate the gospel. I want the gospel to be able to go into every nation, into every country. And the missionary says, I can't go. I don't have any money, but I'm willing to go. I'll go and I'll take it and I'll do it. God said, then I'll bless you. If you will do what I've asked you to do, I'll bless you. And so he moves upon New Life Tabernacle in Augusta, Kansas. And Augusta, Kansas takes up an offering, and God takes that offering and he sends it down to the missionary, and he said, I said, if you'll go, I'll bless. Don't tell me that God doesn't know how to do it. Don't tell me that God's hand is short. Don't tell me that God's hand and that God's mind is weak. God knows how to get what is needed to further the will of God. We understand that it's not his will that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. Oh, but the Bible says, how shall they call upon them in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall he preach except he be sent? We know that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And God said, I've got preachers that are willing to go. I've got preachers that are willing to stand. I got preachers that are willing to make it. Oh, but all of these preachers are going to need something. But there is a world out there that is lost and on their way to hell. Lost, never going to be saved except somebody is able to preach to them. Amen. And God begins to pile together the funds. Oh, yeah. I understand that God could have a mint in heaven and he could be printing the money out, but that's not the way that he chooses to do it. You know why? He's given you an opportunity to be blessed. He's given you an opportunity to open up your heart and say, God, I want to be blessed a little bit. He said, give and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And so the preaching of the gospel to all is propagated by the blessings of God that has put upon his people. The opportunity for somebody else to invest into blessings of God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. We know that blessing does not just simply equate to natural blessing, but there is spiritual blessing that is applied. And you're pretty greedy if all that you can say is, I gave $100 and I was expecting $150. I gave $1,000 to missions, and now I'm having problems paying the bills. You understand that I could teach on blessings, and I could teach on givings for weeks. But you're pretty greedy. You're looking for prosperity. You're not looking for blessing, if that's the mentality that you have. Because it could be that in performing the will of God, in doing the mandate that God has given us to us to go into all the world, to preach this gospel, to go into the highways and the hedges, and that you giving monetarily, and that's not the only thing that you give. Don't start throwing that label and that tag on me. Amen. Because there's other ways that you can do it. There's other ways that you can do it. You can give your time. You can give your time. And you know, I believe that you can give yourself in prayer and in fasting to things. But if you're sitting on a bankroll, let me just put it like this. If God's asking you to give monetarily and you're like, yeah, I ain't giving monetarily because I don't see how it's going to work and how it's going to financially, amen, all pan out. And so I'm just going to pray for a little while. Let me just put it this way to you. God is never going to bless you the first time until you're obedient to His first word. And when you fulfill His first word, He'll give you a second word. This isn't some buffet and optical or multiple choice. That's like, you know what? I don't like that. I'm going to wait for the next option. We're not talking about options. Revelation comes through obedience. I forgot what millionaire it was, but let me just tell you, he's as lost could be. But he made a statement, and he said, I would have never been able to pay tithe on my first million if I wouldn't have been able to pay tithe on my first thousand. You see, if you have a problem with paying tithe on minimum wage, God knows that you got a problem paying tithe on a good paying job. But when you can be faithful in the small things, then God can open up the bigger things for you. But you see, our minds don't think like the minds of God. God's ways are above our ways. And the Bible said His thoughts above our thoughts. And so God is putting an option and an opportunity to be blessed. And God's saying, look, this is what I need. And if you'll do this, then we'll go from there. Amen. And you say, God, it's hard to walk on water. But I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to step out. And I'm going to do it here today. And you begin to walk by faith. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that cometh unto him must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder, a blesser of them that diligently seek after him. Praise God. Praise God. You want to know the shortcut to being blessed? I'll give you a shortcut to being blessed. Here it is. You find something that God is blessing and you bless it. Because that's what the Bible says in Genesis chapter number 12 and verse number 3. Amen. The Abrahamic covenant that is there. The Lord said, Abraham, I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to work out a deal here. I'm going to walk with you. And everything that blesses you, I'll bless. And everything that curses you, I'll curse. And so, if you want a shortcut to blessing, then find something that God is blessing. Amen. Can I just say that God's blessing the church? God's blessing the church. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I could preach for a long time right here about the blessings of God that has been upon this church. And it's not been upon this church because you just sit there and say, God, I've given and I've paid my time. I've done my penance and I've put it in and I'm due for a raise. It's been a year now, God, and I need a raise. But you have come to me and you have testified and you have told me, multiple people in here have told me, Pastor, do you realize that in this year, year, God has increased my income 50%. Pastor, do you realize, amen, that God has answered my prayers and has multiplied my income? Pastor, I've got an opportunity to take a job that is better, amen, and I can make a lot more money, amen. You know what God is doing? God is saying, I've got a church that is going to facilitate the needs of the gospel, and if you'll bless the church, then I'll turn around and I will bless you. God is not a man that he should lie. God's not going to lie about these things. God's not going to put it in his word and then step back and say, I changed my mind. But if God moves upon you and God says, this is what I want. I want you to pass out 100 flyers in a week. I just tell you today, there's going to be a blessing that's going to follow it. Anybody want what I'm talking about here tonight? Hey man, I said, do you want what I'm talking about here tonight? Or are you going to be one of those that says, I don't believe the word of God? I mean, I believe the word of God. I just don't believe that'll happen unto me. You're right. It's not going to happen unto you because doubt, amen, is the enemy of faith. But when you begin to have faith, when you let your faith spring forward, amen, when you get off into the impossible and you let God work it all out, amen, God will come through. Let's love the Lord here tonight. Praise God. Praise God. Amen. And so we know that natural blessing isn't the only blessing. There are spiritual blessings that are had. You say, well, you know what? I like spiritual blessings, but I like the natural blessings more. So you're telling me that if God told you, I tell you what, if you will do this, there's the taking dominion. There's the mandate. Keep dress. If you will do this, I will give you an extra $1,000 or I'll save one of your lost loved ones. You tell me what you're going to choose. If you'll do this, I'll give you a prime advancement at your job or I'll save one of your children. You choose. Most of us, I hope, all of us would say absolutely, definitely, 100%, I'm taking the spiritual blessing over the natural blessing. I'd rather see my children saved, my grandchildren saved, and everything else saved than have an extra dollar. $1 million or your whole family saved. Give me my family. For what is the profit of man if he gained the whole world and loses his own soul? And the next thing to your soul is going to be your family's soul. So if I knew that supporting the church, if I knew that supporting revival, if I knew that supporting missions was going to get, that was going to ensure that my family was going to be saved, I'd definitely be doing it. I'd definitely be doing it. Praise God. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, praise God. There's times that you'll be out, you'll be writing a check to the church, and you'll be looking at building fund. Well, and the Lord says, I want you to give X number of dollars to the building fund. Do what? I see you don't want me to eat either, do you? As the check, I know what you said, but the checkbook says differently. God says, your call. Your call. It's an opportunity for blessing. Your call. Now, let me state, prosperity preachers like, you ready for me to call names and stuff? Yeah. Olstein and all the rest of them. Prosperity. Joyce Myers. T.D. Jakes. Kenneth Hagin. All of these others. Prosperity preachers. Benny Hinn. You send me $1,000 and I'll send you a cloth, an anointed piece of cloth for your healing. We were in Colorado Springs. Benny Hinn came to the World Arena. Number one, you had to pay to get in. Maybe we could start doing that. We'll put the offering plate at the front door and we'll have an usher back there. If Benny Hinn is so good, then we can do it too, right? Because Benny Hinn said, you got to pay to get in. And then when everybody paid to get in, he sent the coffers back out and said, I want an offering. And then he sent the offering out. And the thousands of people gave in their offerings and they brought the coffers back. And Benny Hinn looked at it and he said, God wants to do miracles in here. And they brought all the coffers back and they looked at it all. And in the process of looking at it all, Benny Hinn says, that's not enough. That's not enough. Send it back out again. And so he sent it back out again. And finally, when it came back and it was sufficient for him and it was flowing over, then he said, now God wants to do. That's false doctrine. That's false prophet. That's hogwash. God help me. How did I ever get off on this, Lord Jesus? Somebody help me. Where was I? Henry, help me. Where was I? Spiritual blessings and natural blessings. That don't really help me too much, but I lost my train of thought. And so anyways, we'll pick it up somewhere. It's like a hound dog. I'm sniffing around here somewhere. I'll find it in a minute. And so anyways, we have all these false prophets that are out there, and they're saying, yeah, that's prosperity. That's prosperity. I'm not looking for prosperity. I want the blessings of God. When God says this is the way that it's going to happen, just put it in your book. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Praise God. Amen. Praise God. I get back on here in my notes and I'll pick it up somewhere. But it does take more than just spiritual blessings to make the church go around. It does. We can't say, everybody, lift your hand and point it towards a light and pray blessings that Augusta City is not going to turn our electricity off. And pronounce spiritual blessings upon the utilities, so that the city of Augusta and Hunter doesn't go by and turn our power off. Because we can file a complaint with the city of Augusta and we can tell them, we prayed spiritual blessings upon it. And the city of Augusta is going to say, well, how's that going? How's that working for you? And so it takes natural blessings to make it happen. It takes natural blessings. Somebody says, well, I'm just going to pray. I can't give to the church, but I can pray. I thank you for your prayers. But prayers ain't going to keep, amen, the heater on when it turns winter. It takes natural blessings. And so we have to do these things. And God blesses these things. You know what I find so unique is that when the Lord was pressed by the people, the Bible said that he turned to Peter and said, where's your boat? You know what that means? That means that God wants me to have a boat. No, that's not what that means. That's not what that means. But you understand that Peter had a business before he came into the house of God. And God used Peter's business to facilitate the will of God. And so there are things that you have. There are things that you can do. There are talents that you have. There are assets that you have. There are things, and God says, I need to borrow that for a little while. Hey, man, there's a lad with a lunch, and God says, I need to borrow your lunch, but then I don't have anything to eat. But oh, the faith of that little lad said, here. Do you understand, little boy, that this means that you're not going to get to eat? No? What if we could have that type of faith? What if we could have that type of faith? Praise God. We could preach long, 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 long time about all of the things that God has blessed us with. There was one time that our pastor stood up and he said, look, we need a sacrificial offering. And so I'm just asking you to give and do something. My wife just kind of looked at me in the corner of her eye. She looked at me. And so I just said, write a check for $250. And so, well, that's all we had in our check, in our account. $250. So we wrote a check for $250. We put it in the offering plate. Amen. That was on Wednesday. We knew we were getting paid on Friday. And so we were just praying that God somehow or another come through and stuff, because I did have to chase my checks. I was a business owner working for myself, I guess I should say. And so we chased our checks all over the place. And the guy that was paying the money, amen, on Friday, he seemed to disappear sometime about midday. Amen. And so so I had one of my workers, a guy that was working for me, I said, look, call Eloy and tell him we won't pay it. And so he called Eloy and he said, hey, Eloy, where's my checks? He said, they're with me. And he said, well, you know what? Where are you at? Can I come get them? He said, absolutely. He said, where are you at? He said, I'm at the bar. And so he went over there to the bar and he called him. He said, hey, Eloy, I'm here to get my check. He said, come inside. He said, Eloy, I'm not coming inside. You come out and bring me my check. And so, you know, of course, Eloy did. He came and brought the check and stuff like that. But he just laughed about it. But that's the type of that boss. And so sometimes, you know, it may be that you don't get paid on Friday and you got to go Saturday and Sunday and get to Monday and then catch him before, amen, everybody else has cashed their checks and hopefully there's money in there to draw from and such. And all the business owners know how to say amen to that. Yeah. And so we emptied our account and we just did what we had to do and we gave it unto the church. Amen. And God's saying, you know what? You're not going to outgive me. You're not going to outdo me. That just isn't going to happen. And so Friday we got our check and I got $250 more than what I thought that I was going to get. And I could talk on and on and on and on and on about the blessings of God. You know why? Because this is the principle of blessings. God says, when you do something, amen, then I will cause the blessings to come upon you. That's what I want to preach. See, I've just been in my introduction all night here tonight, but I'm almost about to where I'm ready to preach now. I'm just about ready to preach now. Amen, because that's what the Bible was talking about here. In Deuteronomy chapter number 28 and verse number 1, he says, it shall come to pass if you will hearken diligently. See, I'm back to my text now. Amen, you can look at that and define it as the end or the beginning. That's up to you. Amen, the truth will come out in a moment. And he said, thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God. You're going to have to hearken. You're going to have to listen, and you're going to have to be obedient to it. And he said, and do all of my commandments that I command you. And he said, and all of these blessings are going to be like a big bad dog. They're going to come up on you. You're not going to have to go looking for them. You're not going to have to go looking for a get rich scheme. You're not going to have to go looking under the bushes and turning over rocks and digging in for your mason jar in the back of the yard. He said, these blessings shall come upon you. Amen. In one place he said, they are going to overtake you. In other words, you can't run fast enough away from the blessings of God. Amen. They're going to be like the fastest sprinter, and they're going to jump on you. Amen. God said, if you'll do what I've asked you to do, then these blessings shall overtake you. That sounds great. That's what we all want. I wish some blessings would overtake me this coming week. Amen. I could pay off some business debt. Amen. Instead of making payments on it, I just pay it all off. Amen. And be done with it. Oh, you know what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. You know why? Because that's the Word of God. I'm just telling you, that's the Word of God. Amen. And so you got to take context. You got to take context. Because you can't just go into Deuteronomy 28 and say, if I do the commandments of God and do all these commandments, then blessings shall overtake me. Woo, praise God. Catch me blessings if you can. Woo, if I run longer, will they come more? Woo, Jesus, I feel you already. Amen. There's a context that's added in Deuteronomy chapter number 26. Deuteronomy chapter number 26, there's a context that is added there. Amen. And the context, amen, is the first fruits. In Deuteronomy 26 and 1, it shall come to pass, or it shall be when thou art come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth for thee an inheritance and possess it and dwell therein. Thou shalt take of the first of all of the fruit of the earth which thou shalt bring of the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee, and you shall put it in a basket and go unto the place which the Lord thy God shall choose to place his name there. Oh, does that sound like the church? Amen. God said, that's where I'm going to put my name. Amen. I'm going to put my name upon the church, and that's going to be the place. And he said, you're going to bring your first fruit unto that. That's why we bring our tithe unto the Lord. That's why every time we get paid, amen, we write that little check or we put in our money. And we bring it in that little white envelope that's back there on the back. And we bring it in and we put it in. Now let me just bring it into context of what is happening. What is happening is one of those former slaves, a man, is now able to get his own fruit. He's not working for a man, the slave master. And so he brings his first fruit in, and he brings it to the priest. And the priest is where the church is, at the house of God, because that's who he's bringing it to. He brings it to the priest, and he brings it unto the priest. And he says, pastor, here is the blessings that God hath afforded me, that hath given unto me. And the priest takes that blessing and he waves it before the Lord. And in doing so, he said that you're going to do so in remembering where God brought you from. I used to be a slave in the land of Egypt, and I was in bondage by a cruel taskmaster. But God delivered me and God brought me out. I'm not the same person that I used to be. I'm not just that beaten down slave anymore. But God has blessed me and God has caused me to prosper. Amen. And so God took that and he divvied it up and he gave it unto the Levites. And he did those things and stuff. Now, let's not get caught up there. But what happens is, now we skip over to Deuteronomy chapter number 28. And God begins to speak some things that are there. And in Deuteronomy chapter number 28, we're not preaching a charismatic message. We're preaching the promises of God. And here in Deuteronomy 28, he begins to speak. And he begins to say that there are some things that are going to happen. He said, you're going to be blessed in the field. He didn't say if you choose to, if you want to, it might happen. If you're lucky, it's going to happen. He didn't say anything about that. He said, you will be blessed in the field. Brother Gavin, I want you to know that if you're doing the will of God and doing what God wants you to do, God is going to bless you on your job. Amen, Brother Garrett, if you're doing what God wants you to do and doing as your boss would have you to do, amen, then God is going to bless you in the field. That goes for every one of us. God said it's not just going to maybe happen. God said it's going to happen. It's going to happen. There's going to be blessings that are going to go. Amen. Somebody says, well, amen, that's all that church wants is give, 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 give. Amen. If I knew what God was doing, amen, because that I know what God's doing, I don't have a hard time giving unto God. You're looking at a preacher here right now that I give 10% of every dime that I make. And on top of all the tithe, I give offering unto to it. Amen. Because the Lord said, amen, when he began to speak in Malachi, and they said, Lord, how in have we robbed you? He said, you've robbed me in tithe and in offerings. Offering is a free will offering. You get to decide what you're going to do, but you ought to do it according to, amen, your worthiness of God. God, you're so good to me. God, you're so help. I'm just telling you what I do. This is just me. This isn't doctrine. But oh, I got a revelation. I cannot outgive God. And so I give 10% tithe. And I give 5% offering. And I give it to God. And I say, God, this is for your church. God, this is for revival. God, this is for the propagation of the gospel in Augusta, Kansas. That's not doctrine. That's just what I do. But I don't stop there. I don't stop there. Come the first of the month, on my calendar it says that my building fund is due. And so I just ask God. I know what I'm going to give at least. And I just ask God, God, what do you want me to give? And God just impresses upon me a number. I said, all right, God, I'll do it. Somebody says, I don't have that luxury. I used to not have that luxury. I used to not have that luxury. You're looking at a pastor that pastored a church, and I didn't have food to put on the table. And with two boys, we ate beans and cornbread, and cornbread and beans and more cornbread for several days. But you know what? We didn't stop preaching. We didn't stop believing. And all of a sudden, my phone rang, and I picked it up, and it's Brother Navarez. And Brother Navarez says, Pastor, are you at home? And I said, yes. You're looking at a preacher that didn't have a house. I lived in the church. Brother Wirth has lived in the church. Amen. You know why? Because it's not about how much money I have in my pocket. It's about that God gets the glory and that somebody else has an opportunity to be saved. I lived in my office. That's what I had. I had an office. And we lived in the office. And the office had like a little bitty kitchenette. And it had like a walk-in closet. Now you know where the boys stayed. In a bunk bed in the walk-in closet. That was their room. And that's where we lived. And we never complained about it. Amen. Because God always provided. God always provided. We left there in debt. My credit cards were maxed out. I had no money to my name. Amen. Let me revise that. My credit card wasn't maxed out, but it would be by the time I got all of my stuff in my Ryder truck to Louisiana. Paying that bill. And I finally got there. And the grace of God come knocking on my door and offered me a revival. And so I made it to that revival and God began to bless. And I had so much debt. Amen. I don't even remember the thousands of dollars in debt that I was. But I had not been frivolous in any of it. Amen. God was our helper and God was somehow or another paying the bills. But oh, 10 months later, there came a call on the phone. And it said, would you like to pastor in Texas? There's a church that needs somebody. And they told me the situation. I was like, can't I just get a good church? And the Lord said, not for 11 more years. And so we went there. And we lived in the church mobile home. Just a single wide. But my boys finally had a bedroom. Finally had a bedroom. How old were they? 11. 10 and 12. 11. 9 and 11. Something like that. They finally had a bedroom. Didn't have to sleep in a walk-in closet. And we had church and we fought the devil. And the FBI almost killed us. And we went through all kinds of things. But God was good to us. And you know what? I was 46 years old when I bought my first house. God's been good to me. God's been good to me. I used to not be able to say, God, you just name it and I'll put it. Oh, I said, God, you know what I've got and I'm willing to give it, but oh, it's going to hurt. But I got the principle. I had the principle. And the principle was that I was never going to outgive God. You said, where did you learn about that 5% offering? You know how I learned about that? I heard my pastor preaching it. And he preached, amen, that was what he did. And I said, well, then that's what I'm going to do. I didn't have hardly anything. Amen. I'm paying 10 bucks tithe and $5 offering. Amen. And looking at my accounts like, good Lord, help us, Jesus. Oh, but God was coming through. God was moving. Some of you looked at your pastor, amen, 20 years ago. And you told your pastor, I can't afford to pay tithe. Amen. And Brother Worst looked at you and said, you can't afford not to pay tithe. You know why? Because there's a blessing that is associated with it. And God said it's going to overcome you. Not only, oh my Lord Jesus, not only are you going to be blessed in the field, but you're going to be blessed in the city. Not only are you going to be blessed in the city, but you're going to be blessed when you come in and when you go out. You're going to be the head and you're not going to be the tail. You're going to be the lender and you're not going to be the borrower. Your enemies are going to be scattered seven ways from you. I'm going to bless your storage. I'm going to bless the store. What's God saying? I'm going to bless your bank account. I'm going to bless your savings account. And he says, I'm going to bless your basket. My basket. My basket. You're going to bless my what? Your basket. I don't even have a wicker basket. You remember what those slaves did? Those people that was, and they brought their first fruit down, their tithing, and they put it in the basket. That's what it said. They put it in the basket. And the Lord said, I'm going to bless your basket. You're scratching your head saying, I don't know how my basket's going to be blessed. There's only one way. Come on. Opportunity's going to come. Advancement's going to come. Raises are going to come. Promotion's going to come. You used to make $10 an hour and pay $10. Amen. Pay tithe on $10 an hour. Amen. God blesses your basket. Amen. You're making $15 an hour, so your basket's making. Amen. Your basket is increased because God's increased. Amen. Your wages out there. And when you learn how to take care of the 15, amen, God said, we're going up to 17. And when you take care of 17, God says, I see that you can do this. We're going up to 22. And when you take care of 22, amen, God said, you're not going to outgive me. I'll give you 25. And when you take care of 25, you say, Pastor, what's next? All of a sudden, you get this brilliant idea. And God says, hey, I want you to step out on your own and I want you to have your own business. Boy, I don't know about that. God said, I do. You know why? You know why? Because not only are you going to be able to bless the church, you're going to be blessing everybody else. And there's going to be somebody that's going to be in need and you're going to be able to help them. And there's going to be somebody that's going to need a little electrical work and you're going to be able to help them. And there's going to be somebody that's going to need a little bit, amen, of financial accounting assistance and you're going to be able to help them. And there's going to be somebody that's going to need this and you're going to be able to help them. You see, I was bringing you up the whole time. I was paying for your college. Amen. While you was working in that electrical field, I was saying there's so much more for you. There's so much greater for you. I got a plan for you. I got a plan. You know why? Because the church is going to need an electrician when we get ready to build a new building. And you're down here on the bottom and you think I'm just working for pennies. And God said, no. I see where I'm going with all of this. I've got a will, and it's the will of God. That New Life Tabernacle has a new church somewhere else, and I'm going to work to facilitate it. And so when God says, write so much to the building fund, I just do it. And I said, okay, God, how much you want me to give to missions? God says, give X number of dollars to missions. I give X number of dollars to missions. You say, well, I wished I could do that. You can. There was a woman that all she had was two mites. But Jesus said she gave more than all the others. The millionaires that was putting 100 bucks in the plate, she gave two mites, and God says she gave more. Say two mites and $100. No. Let's talk about 100% as opposed to 1%. I remember the times when they would say, you know what, I'm going to give $1,000 to the church.
Oh God. I'll be filing bankruptcy, bro.
Say, what can you give? I'm thinking, what can I give? I can give about 20 bucks. And God's sitting there saying, what kind of blessing do you want? I'll give $50. And you feel so small. Because so-and-so just gave $1,000. I'll give 50. But you multiply it up. I just said I could give 20. 20 and 20 is 40. And now I'm adding, you see what to do real quick, 150% over what I thought I could give. And 50 bucks hurts me just as much as the one that's given 1,000 hurts them. But God's not looking at the amount, that the dollar amount that's on it. God's like, look at the storage. Is that not what he said? Is that not what he said? Read it. Malachi chapter number 3. He said it like this. He said, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house. We could talk about that. What kind of meat do we want in the house of God? Paul said, Paul said in one place, he said, you have need of meat, but you're on milk. And there's other times that we need milk. But he said that there may be meat in my house. And now here's what he says. Now here's what I want you to do. He said, prove me now, herewith saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven. He didn't say sprinkle a blessing. He said, I'm going to open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that you don't even have room to receive it. You don't even have room to receive it. And now, but it doesn't stop there. This is like living in the land of Eden and getting blessed. Because the Lord says, prove me now, herewith saith the Lord, and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing upon you that you can't even receive. And now here the Lord says, I'm going to give you a little bit of extra too. In Louisiana, they said, lagniap. A little extra. Here's what you ordered in a little lagniap. A little extra. He said, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. God said, you're not going to have to go around saying, devil, get out of my checkbook. Devil, get out of my finances. Devil, get out of my bank account. Devil, get out of my house. Devil, get. The Lord said, no. You're not going to have to do that. I'm going to take care of it. He said, I'm going to do it. He said, try me. And I'm going to chase you down and I'm going to pour out blessings on you. And you're not going to even be able to receive it. We need this revelation. And you know what I'm so thankful for, Brother Worths? I'm so thankful that you preach this gospel, that you preach this doctrine. And you know how I know that you preach this doctrine? Because there was a missionary down in Peru that needed another building. Honduras. There was a missionary in the Honduras that needed another building. And we brought it forth to this little bitty church. This little bitty church, that's what we did. We brought it forth to this little bitty church. What can this little bitty church do? $38,000 later, we send them a check down to the Honduras, amen, that they can get their new building. Let me just tell you what's going on in heaven. God is saying, oh yeah, New Life Tabernacle's about to get blessed. I'm going to chase them down and I'm going to overwhelm them with blessing. I'm going to pour it out and they're not going to have room to receive it. God, I don't care about finances. Just give me more people. Give me another soul in the altar. Give me another soul in the baptismal tank. Being filled with the Holy Ghost. Baptized in Jesus' name. And I know you'll provide provide the building. Somewhere down the road, wherever it is, you will take care of it. Let's stand. It's too private, but I wish that I could point at several of you and tell the whole church what God's done for you. I know I taught my boys to pay tithe when they were tykes, little kids. We didn't say, when you get your first official job. We didn't tell them that. We said, this is increase. This is my birthday money. It's increase. Not one time did they ever. No. But as little kids, they were so excited to come give to God. And they gave offerings. Percentage-wise, they gave more than I gave. But today, that's why they have the jobs they have. It hasn't been easy. It hasn't been easy. There's been trying times. And the same goes for you, too. You know where you were 10, 15 years ago. Scraping by. Barely making ends meet. But God. God said, you ain't getting away from me. You're not getting away from me. You can't hide from me. So I'm going to give $1 million anonymously to the Lord. God said that ain't going to work. I mean, you can give it, but I'm still going to chase you down. I'm going to chase you down. I know a preacher, and we always looked at him as, oh man, he's majorly blessed. Woo! God has blessed him. But nobody knows his story. And here he was pastoring a church and needing money. So he sold his house, moved into a rental, and gave all the money to the church. God looked up there and said, boy, you asking for a blessing, aren't you? And God blessed him and gave him another house. And you know what? The church was in need of some money again. You know what he did? He sold his house, moved into a rental house, and gave all of his money to the church. God said, you think that you won up on me, huh? All right, let's try this again. So God gave him a house, but God didn't stop there. Somebody came by his way and said, hey, Reverend, I've got this idea. And this idea that I have is going to do this, this, and this. It was like an invention. And I'm not going to say what it is because I don't want to give the name away in case anybody would know. And he said, you know, this idea is going to do this and this. And the pastor said, I could see that. He's like, but I need some money to help me finance it. He's like, well, what do you need? He's like, well, I need X number of thousands of dollars, a few thousand dollars to make it happen. I said, we can make that happen. And so he invested into this idea. And this man accomplished the idea. And it went on the market and it sold millions. And you know, I could say that man of God is a millionaire. I could say that. You would never know it. You would never know it by looking at him. Some people think that it would be wrong and sinful for the man of God to be a millionaire. I'll just tell you right now, my pastor, whatever he needed, I'd want him to have it. Because
yes,
he's praying for my
That's
soul
right.
and my children's soul.
Hallelujah. Right.
Somebody said, well, you know what? My pastor, he's got too nice of a car. Friend, if he could use a helicopter to get to me quicker at the hospital when I need him, I want him to have a helicopter.
All right, yeah.
I'll just tell you right now, I'll get to the hospital a whole lot faster in my car than I will a helicopter, okay? As a matter of fact, if I have a helicopter, I'm probably not going to make it. You're probably going to have to come to the hospital and pray for me. But you know what? I watched my pastor. I was over all of the administration of the church, and I told the pastor there was something that had come up, and we needed about $40,000. I don't know how many people here have $40,000. I tell you, I don't, because if I had $40,000, I'd pay off my business debt. But anyways, I told the pastor, you know, going to need about $40,000. And so here's a man that's been pastoring this assembly for 30 years. You know what he did? He went down and took a second loan out on his house. Paid $40,000. But you know what? Now he's about 80 years old and he's blessed.
Yes.
God's taking care of everything. Because there is a principle that you're not going to get past God. He said, blessings shall overtake you. I had no idea how this service is going to end. I still don't have any idea how it's going to end. But I will say this, and this is what I have felt, that some of us, our every choice and every decision is based upon that checkbook. And I'm not saying that's exactly wrong. Because like I've told these young people in some of our teachings when I teach, if you don't tell your money where to go, you'll always wonder where it went. So you need a budget. And I told them, I said, I want you to categorize everything that you've done. And I want you to come back and talk about it. And they come back and they're like, I spend hundreds on fast food. How many hundred did you spend in a month? Do you realize I could have fed my family for that? So we're working on these things. We're working on these things. All right? We're working on these things. You need a budget. Millionaires have budgets. Companies on the Forbes 500 have budgets. You need a budget.
Jesus, thank you, Lord.
And if you can't make a budget, there's a few people in this church that can help you. Come talk to me. I'll get you set up with one of them. Now, if you're on a budget, you do that. But some of us are so afraid. And I'm not talking to anybody in particular. I'm talking to, it's like I used to say, if the shoe fits, Cinderella, wear it. If it don't fit, don't worry about it. But when God comes down and says, psst, I want you to do this. Don't let the balance dictate it. You make sure it's God. Because I don't need you charging God foolishly for something foolish that you did. You're not looking at a preacher that's going to say you need to empty your bank account. That's foolishness. And if somebody comes to me and says, Pastor, the Lord laid it upon my heart to give $10,000 to the church, I'm going to ask them, are you sure that God said that?
Right.
Because if God didn't say that, don't come back to me and tell me. I believe God will help you out. But let's listen to God.
Yes.
I'm not a preacher that's after your wallet and after your bank account and all that other stuff. You know why? Because I got a God that's bigger than that.
Hallelujah.
I do. You remember I said I pastored in church where I had cornbreads and beans and stuff like that? What was I going to do? I'll tell you what I was going to do. I was going to the mailbox. And I'd go to the mailbox and I'd open up the mailbox and there is some preacher from some podunk town in Louisiana. They don't even have a flashing red light or anything. They don't have anything. As a matter of fact, Siri probably doesn't even know where it is. And there's a check in the mail for $1,500. And God says, you ain't going to outdo me.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
blessings
Jesus.
Are going to overtake
Thank you.
You. And so a long time ago, I took this little thing called a wallet and I put it on an altar and I said, God, it's yours. Whatever you need, if I got it, it's yours. Whatever's there, God, you know, I got bills. You know, I got kids and you know that they get hungry and you know that I've got a car. And I've got insurance, and I've got payments, and I've got all of this. And God sent me to a little place called Katy, Texas, where my credit cards were about maxed out. And everything was done and gone wrong. But I'm here today to tell you that within 10 months' time, I was debt-free. In 10 months' time. How did it happen? God just did it. That's the only thing I can say. God just did it. God just did it. And you know how God did it? This is how God did it. God moved upon somebody in the church and said, go check your stocks. And they went and they checked their stocks. And they're like, oh my goodness. And God said, cash them out a little bit. And they cashed them out quite a bit. And God said, pay the tithe on that. And so they paid the tithe. It paid my debt off. God blessed them. God blessed their basket. And God helped them in all of that. And God blessed me at the same time of all of that too as well. I'm telling you, it just happens. It just happens. When you get the revelation that God wants to bless you. He said, try me. Try me. I will cause blessings to come upon you. And I'm here today to prophetically declare in the Holy Ghost that that's exactly what's going to happen to this church. This church right here, I'm speaking in the Holy Ghost right now. I feel it. This church, at only 40 to 50 strong, God's going to say, I'm going to give you an opportunity. And from this church, I'm going to bless other churches. I'm going to bless missions. And I'm going to bless all of these things. And when it comes time, others are going to give into your bosom. Others are going to give into your building fund. And others are going to pay for the church. And so I've got an opportunity to be a blessing to God. And so I'm just saying, amen, if you're here sitting here thinking, oh, that preacher wants money, you've missed my entire message. The entire thing, you've missed it. But what I am here saying is God is saying, I've got an opportunity to invest into His kingdom. Amen. And so I'm going to be up here and I'm going to pray. And while I'm praying, because I'm propagating the gospel, I'm going into all the world to preach. And while I'm witnessing, and while I'm praying, and while I'm fasting, and while I'm working, and while I'm giving, God is chasing me down saying, Bubba, you ain't getting away. I am going to bless you. And I'm saying, God, I'm chasing a sinner. And God said, we are chasing a sinner. Amen. And God, I say, God, I'm needing a Bible study. And God said, you got a Bible study. As a matter of fact, you got two Bible studies now. Amen. And God, you're saying, God, I need this. God said, we're heading that away. Amen. God says, I will cause blessings to overcome you. I'm going to cause blessings. Amen. If you've been having financial problems, now is your time to give it to God and say, God, I've been having problems financially and I haven't been able to give. But God, this is what I'm doing. God, everything I have, it belongs to you. And God, whatever you need, whenever you say, I'll do it, God. If you say 100, I don't know where it's coming from. If you say 10, I might not know where it's coming from. But God, everything that I have belongs to you. If you're in debt, if you're in debt, if you've got credit card debt, amen, give it to God. Say, God, you see what debt I've got. Ho, 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 ho. God, you see what debt I've got. If you will get me out of debt, I will give more liberally to your kingdom. God's getting ready to take care of some people's financial problems forever. 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 I don't know how it's going to happen. Hey man, God said you're not going to get away from it. I'm not asking you to write a check to the church tonight. I'm saying bring your debt to the Lord. And I want you to put it on the altar and say, God, if you will help me to get out of debt, number one, I won't get back into debt that way again. Number two, I will give liberally unto your kingdom to propagate the gospel of Jesus Christ into every nation.
Yes, Lord. Yes, Jesus. Hallelujah.
By faith. You say, amen, Pastor, I don't know how it's going to happen. Opportunity is going to come knocking on your door. Opportunity is going to come. Your boss is going to come your way. And he's going to say, hey, there is an opportunity for you to advance in the company. There's an opportunity for you to do a whole lot better right now. Oh, yeah. This is what God said. I'm going to take care of it. God, I want to give unto your kingdom more than I give. But God, I can't do it on my budget right now. I can't do it on my finances right now. But God, if you will help me to take care of these, amen, this responsibility, I will give to your kingdom. I will do. Watch God. Watch God. Watch God do it. Watch God do it. Oh. Oh! Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost, Holy Ghost. Come on, we're not taking up a multi-$1,000 offering right now. We're just saying, God, I want to give, but I'm so bound up. You see, that's what the devil tries to do. The devil tries to bind up the finances of the saints of God. God's going to step in and say, no. No. Hey man, that 10-year refrigerator is going to last 30 years. That washing machine ain't going to quit. That dryer's not going to quit. That car's not going to quit. I'm telling you, in the Holy Ghost, I was in my backyard when I was speaking these things to the Lord. I felt like running down to the end and running back because I got a revelation. And God said, hey, I want to bless the church. Hey, I want your church to be a blessing to all nations. It's like, oh God, what an opportunity. What an opportunity. Oh God, I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of that. Oh yes, oh yes, oh yes. Don't try to reason it out with the natural mind. Amen. I said, don't try to reason it out with the natural mind. God will blow your mind. I just don't see how it'll ever happen. You got to get beyond all of that. Oh, you got to get beyond all of that. That's what I said. I said, that's what I said. Hey, man, when I was in such financial debt. Oh, that's what I said. Hey, man, counting on every penny to make a payment somewhere. Robbing Peter to pay Paul to make it happen.
but I just kept trusting God. I just kept doing the mandate. I just kept doing the will. And God said, you're not going to escape a blessing. It's not going to happen. I'm going to open up the windows of heaven, and I am going to pour it out on you. You're not going to be able to receive it. I don't have to go around every bush and say, devil, I rebuke you in Jesus' name. Amen. I just go back to God and say, God, hey, God, hey, God, devil's over here trying to do this to me. Amen. God said, I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. I will rebuke the devourer for your sake. He shall not destroy the fruit of your ground, neither shall your vine cast forth her fruit before the time. In the field, saith the Lord of hosts, all nations shall call you blessed, for you shall be a delightsome land, saith the Lord of hosts. I believe testimonies are coming forth out of this service. Oh yeah, I believe testimonies are coming forth out of this service. Unbelievers are going to get a revelation. Unbelievers are going to get a testimony. Unbelievers are going to have a chance to believe. Amen. But faith walkers are going to be able to become faith talkers. Amen. You're going to speak forth the things that God has done for you. There is nothing that is impossible to God. But I must declare, you've got to keep the mandate of God.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, yes, God. Oh, Jesus.
Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I rebuke that doctrine of poverty. I rebuke that mindset that says, hey, man, we just got to exist until Jesus comes in our poor state. Hey, man, God doesn't want it to be that way. God said, I got a kingdom that needs some finances. I got a kingdom that needs some prayers. I got a kingdom that needs some prayer warriors. I got missionaries that need some help. Hey, man, I got home missionaries in this land that need some help. Hey, man, oh, yeah. Oh, God says, I don't have time, amen, to be going to a banker and borrowing money, amen, for all of this. Amen. God said, all I need is some people that are willing to help push and to promote the gospel. And when it happens, I'm going to bless the giver. They think that they're giving unto me, but I'm going to give unto them. I'm going to turn it around and over. It's hard to see that when you've never experienced that. But when you've experienced it, you understand, there's nothing that is impossible for God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. 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 Praise God. I come against the spirit of doubt.
spirit of discouragement, all spirits accordingly. I'm closing with this and we're done. The Lord told the children of Israel, He said, you've been working on your houses and you've been making sure that all of your houses are taken care of, but where's my house? What are you doing for my house? He said, here's what I'm going to do. Until you learn how to give to my house, I'm going to turn off the rain of heaven. I'm going to turn off the spigot of the ground. I'm going to turn off the blessings, all of the blessings, until you take care of my house. He said, you take care of my house. He said, then I'll take care of your house. There's a revelation that's there. He said, you take care of my house, I'll take care of your house. But there was another time in the Old Testament when he said, I want you to build me a house. I want you to build me a house. And the people's like, okay, what do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And the Lord said, well, we need so much gold. We need so much silver. We need so much this. We need this. Remember, these people were slaves. I understand that they had taken all that the Egyptians had and they went and borrowed and stuff and got and everything else like that. But friend, they went to their tents and they started digging this stuff out. And here they come bringing it to the builders. They say, here you go. You said you needed this. Here it is. What else do you need? Well, we could use a little bit more gold and silver. Absolutely. We'll make it happen. And they just kept coming and kept coming and kept coming. And finally, one of the builders said, hey, Moses, tell the people to stop. We got so much stuff here, we can't even build. I got to move all of this stuff. I can't even build. Tell the people to stop. Say, where did all this stuff come from? I believe it was like that widow woman that just kept going back to that meal. Well, got a little bit more. Got a little bit more. What about that other widow woman that was looking around? We got any more vessels? Oh, here's 10 more vessels. Poor. We got any more vessels? Nope, there's no more vessels. If we had more vessels, we'd fill more up because I still got oil. Out of one pot? Yeah. God said, you're not going to get by on me. And this is what he said in the New Testament. He said, give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. He said, all I want you to do is just give. But when I give back to you, it's going to be good measure, pressed down, shaken together. In other words, we ain't just going to fill it up with a little bit of fluff. We're going to pound it down, put some more in there. Put some more in there. It's full. No, it's not. Put some more in there. Put some more in there. Pressed down, shaken together, running over. He said, shall men give unto your bosom? Where are these coming from? I don't know. But that's what the word says. He said, for the same measure that you meet with all, it shall be measured to you again. In this passage, he said, judgment leads to judgment. Condemnation leads to condemnation. Pardon leads to pardon. And giving leads to giving. It's just a simple little fact that certifies and actions often reflect back on the individual. He said, judge not lest you be judged. Condemn not unless you be condemned. And he said, give and it shall be given. It's just going to come back. Praise God. Praise God. So I'm not here. I promise you. I'm not here asking for building pledges. I'm not here asking for a special offering. I'm not here to do any of that. None of it. None. None. That's not my job. That's not me. This is between you and God. I'm just simply saying, you've got an opportunity to be blessed. If God says give a dollar and you give a dollar, that's between you and God. How can I say, God didn't say that? And I'm not saying that God's going to come down to you and say, you need to give $5. God may say,
I want you to give a dollar plus. I want you to start praying so much a day and fast a day a week. And if you'll do that, you'll take care of the dominion. I'm part of that. I'm going to bless you. Well, let's see here, God, at the bargaining table. How much are you going to give me? No, forget that. Forget that. You're not that good. You're not that good. Because you're going to say, God, I tell you what, I'll give you a dollar if you'll give me five. And God said, if you settle for five, I'll give you five.
Oh, hallelujah, Jesus.
That's in God's hands. How much am I going to give? I don't know. How much am I going to pray? I don't know. How much am I going to fast? I don't know. It's whatever he tells me to do. That's what I'm going to do. Because I've got a revelation that when he asks, it's an opportunity for blessing.
Yes.
Not prosperity. Because prosperity will blow out with the wind. Blessing is going to continue to follow me. Praise God. Oh, that's the God that I serve. Amen. And I can stand and I can testify and I can say that because I've been there, scraping together with nothing to eat.
Yep.
I used to live with my pastor where I was at the time. I lived with him. We had nothing to eat. We were digging through furniture, picking out pennies and nickels and dimes so that we could go. When we finally came, I think we had like a dollar and 30 something cents and change. We're going to go buy some bread, which was 33 cents, and buy some milk, whatever milk for the girls to eat. On the way out the door, somebody comes up and says, Pastor, the Lord just impressed me to come by and give you this much money. So I praise God. We went in and made a whole grocery list. Then there was shouting in that little trailer house. Everybody was so happy. Went to the door and opened up the door again about the time that somebody was getting knocked on the door and said, Pastor, Lord just impressed me to come by and do this for you. Praise God. It just happens. It just happens. And you know how I got this revelation? I got this revelation because my mom said, we're going to go to church. We live 100 miles away. We lived 100 miles away from church. She said, we're going to church. We went to church on Maypops. That's that brand of tire that may pop or it may not pop. And one time going to church, we had two flat tires. We still made it there on time. But we didn't have any gas to go home. And so we had like, I don't remember, some cents. We didn't have a dollar. We had some cents. And if it was a dollar, it was barely over a dollar. We just had some cents. 80 miles away. We stopped at the gas station. You say, well, gas wasn't that much. What we had wasn't that much. We put that few cents in. We drove all the way home. Mom got up, took us to school the next day. She went to work all on those fumes. God said, this car will run on air as long as I want it to because I saw what you did.
Yeah. Amen. Right.
I was talking with a pastor one time, and he was saying, man, he said, we were driving, and he said, we stopped. He said it was nighttime. We stopped at this one place. And he said, we didn't have any money for oil, and the car needed some oil. And he said, we didn't have money for oil. He said, but the baby had some milk. He said, so we just, God. He said, we poured the milk in. We drove home. God said, you ain't going to outdo me. Your car will run on air and milk. But you ain't going to outdo me. And say, somewhere or another, we got to get that revelation. And we got this big, big God. That's just saying, look, I just want to bless. I just want to bless. That's what I want to bless. Okay, God, here it is. You can bless me. He said, all right. Keep and dress the garden. Praise God. God bless you. Tuesday night, prayer meeting.